Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review for Thursday, September 14, 2017. We'll begin today's reading with an article on the front page headlined, Buffett to Act as Interim Sheriff, Philanthropist Expected to be Sworn in on Friday, by Ryan Voiles, Herald and Review, Decatur. Philanthropist Howard Buffett's next contribution to the region will be serving out the remainder of retiring Macon County Sheriff Thomas Schneider's term. Schneider, on Friday, is expected to nominate Buffett, 62, to become the county's top law enforcement officer until a new sheriff is sworn in next fall. Buffett, a former Archer Daniels Midland Company executive, whose foundation has donated millions of dollars to Decatur area projects, including to the sheriff's office, is an unpaid auxiliary deputy sheriff for the department. The appointment is his first in an official law enforcement capacity. Buffett has volunteered with the sheriff's office for 5 years. A swearing-in ceremony is planned on Friday afternoon. The county board has to authorize the appointment within 60 days. Buffett and Schneider declined to comment. The sheriff oversees a $9 million annual budget and 166 full-time employees. HeraldReview.com first reported Wednesday that Schneider also submitted a letter to the county clerk on May 24th designating Buffett to fulfill the duties of the office of sheriff if I was to pass away before my term ends, citing his strong commitment and no desire to run for sheriff. The directive was obtained through a Freedom of Information Act and posted at heraldreview.com. Schneider, in an interview about the letter earlier Wednesday, said he was going through a surgery at the time, and I wanted to make sure my department was taken care of. In the letter, he wrote he didn't want to give an unfair advantage to any of the candidates' election by naming them to position in the event of his death. He chose Buffett because they've worked closely together over the past 5 years, the sheriff wrote. Schneider, a Democrat, in April announced he would not seek another term, and sheriff's lieutenants Tony Brown, Jonathan Butts, and Jim Root have announced their intention to be on the ballot next November. Howard Buffett has not. Schneider, in his letter to the clerk, said he appointed Buffett to the position because he would be able to maintain the office in the same manner that I would during the election process. In April, he called Buffett the most committed volunteer we have ever had serve in our office. He always goes above and beyond the requirements when it comes to service hours, training, and qualifications. He has consistently been a vocal advocate for public safety in our community and many others across the United States, to say nothing of the incredible financial commitments he has made in support of local law enforcement, the sheriff said. In Decatur since the 1990s, the son of multi-billionaire investor Warren Buffett, Howard Buffett came to Decatur in the 1990s to work for ADM. A farmer, he previously served on the Douglas County, Nebraska County Board. Decatur has been great to me because I don't want recognition, I just want anonymity, Buffett said in an interview last year. A big part of why I stay is the sheriff's office and the sheriff himself. I've got this whole new interest in the sheriff's office, which is a huge part of what I do now. Buffett has volunteered for the sheriff's office since 2012, when he became an auxiliary deputy. In 2014, he was appointed civilian undersheriff, an unpaid position in charge of special projects. In April, the Illinois Sheriff's Association presented Buffett with its highest honor, the High Sheriff Award, given out only 4 times before. The organization said he had logged more than 2,500 hours of patrol, 600 hours of certified training, and 70 weapons qualifications. Buffett has given millions of dollars to law enforcement, social services, and other causes over the past few years through his private foundation, which focuses its work on global hunger and wildlife conservation. In 2014, the foundation gave grants totaling $1.2 million over 4 years that funded the positions of a drug interdiction agent and related equipment, a DUI enforcement officer and related equipment, and an elder victims crime unit investigator and equipment. In May, Buffett donated more than $350,000 for firearms, training ammunition, and police vehicles. Other area donations include a $15 million law enforcement training facility on Decatur's south side, slated to open later this year, and host new recruits from throughout Illinois. In July, $3 million to the Children's Museum of Illinois for an expansion focused on law enforcement and its contributions to society. $3.9 million to build a new amphitheater in Nelson Park, a key part of the long-term plan to develop more recreation opportunities near Lake Decatur, announced in October. $2 million to extend the train at Scoville Zoo to wrap around the Children's Museum, also announced in October. $250,000 for a sculpture park between the museum and zoo. New downtown headquarters for the United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois, which opened in February, and a 2-for-1-for-1 telephone information and referral service to Macon, DeWitt, and Moultrie counties. In a statement earlier this year, Buffett said working in impoverished nations has given him appreciation for law enforcement's role in creating peaceful, thriving communities. I have so much respect for the individuals who dedicate their careers to serve in law enforcement, he said. They have taught me a lot about the key law enforcement challenges facing this country, and I am incredibly honored by this recognition. The swearing-in ceremony is planned at Scoville Golf Course, according to an invitation obtained by Herald and Review media partner WCIA, which confirmed the information with an official for the Howard G. Buffett Foundation. All three candidates in the November 2018 elections told the Herald and Review Wednesday that they support the appointment. Brown, a Democrat who joined the department in 1990, said he thought the move is the most fair, as one candidate would have an advantage over the other if chosen to fill the role. He said the financial contributions to Macon County law enforcement did not drive the decision. The sheriff's office is in good shape and will continue to be in good shape. The guy has put the work in, and those are the things behind the scenes that people do not see, Brown said. But a Democrat who has worked for the sheriff's department since 1989 said he respects the sheriff's decision and that he looked forward to working with Howard Buffett to continue to serve the community to the best of our ability. Root, a Republican in the department since 1996, described Buffett as a wonderful man and said he looked forward to working with him. He's put a lot of time into the department, and it has nothing to do with the money, Root said. He's the top volunteer for the auxiliary, and he shows up for training when he's supposed to. He's very much a dedicated individual when it comes to things for the department. Root added that while the sheriff orchestrates the department's activities, many decisions are made by lieutenants who oversee various areas. Root said he is in charge of the Macon County Emergency Management Agency. Brown oversees investigations, and Butts handles the sheriff's office administration. There are a total of 7 lieutenants, he said. Brown also said he, Butts, and Root work well together and would be able to assist Buffett as needed. In the event that Schneider were to step down before his term ends, state law allows the sheriff to name a successor, said Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott. The county board would then have 60 days to appoint an interim sheriff, who would serve out the rest of the term. The board can accept who the sheriff named, or they can appoint someone else, Scott said. The whole idea is so that we're never without a sheriff. Schneider was approved by the Macon County Board to replace Jerry Dawson, who resigned as sheriff August 31, 2008. Schneider won the office in his own right in 2010, an election in which he won 2/3 of the vote. He was unopposed for re-election in 2014. Schneider began working for the sheriff's office in 1988. In his nearly three decades of law enforcement, Schneider has served as a correctional officer, but also has worked as a deputy sheriff, detective, patrol division sergeant and lieutenant, jail warden, and chief deputy before becoming sheriff and winning his 2010 election. It was the first countywide election for Schneider, who served as alderman in the city of Macon from 2002 to 2008. As he noted at the time, "I've worked every position in this department and every shift." Therapy horses help kids ride tall. Kemmerer Village Program also teaches life skills to residents by Jalen Cook, Herald and Review. Along with the rest of the staff and residents of Kemmerer Village, Amber Miller has a lot to look forward to as fall approaches. On Tuesday, the Presbyterian Child Care Agency kicked off its Horses for Heroes program, which allows children with disabilities to participate in riding sessions on therapy horses. The program spans 5 weeks in the fall and another 5 weeks in the spring. Kemmerer Village also welcomed an 8-year-old black and white gypsy vanner named Oreo to its group of horses last month. "She's going to be a very good therapy horse," said Miller, the agency's equine therapist and certified riding instructor. She said that gypsy vanner horses such as Oreo are strong, calm, and have broad backs. "They're just super mellow horses," Miller said. "We have one boy that rides in our program whose entire body tremors," Miller said. "Having a horse like Oreo is critical to his safety." Miller said that Kemmerer Village won Oreo in a contest held by the Lex Lynn Gypsy Ranch in Rockwood, Tennessee. The ranch agreed to donate Gypsy Vanner horses to the top 20 ranches and organizations that earned the most votes by the end of the contest. Kemmerer Village finished in 7th place with 15,442 votes, Miller said. "We're really building a specialized herd now," she said. 5 horses are currently saddled and ready to ride for the Horses for Heroes program, and Miller said that Oreo will join them in due time. To assist with grooming the horses and attending to the children riding them for their safety, 12 of the 35 residents currently at Kemmerer Village are serving as heroes for the program. The agency provides a wide range of services for the young people who stay at the facility and their families, including foster care, residential treatment, and recreational therapy. Autumn Warren, Associate Director of Financial Development, said that creating a relationship with the horses not only provides a therapeutic outlet for the residents, but also helps them develop beneficial life skills. "It's a constant relationship-building thing," she said. "It really is more like a human interaction. The more you see them, the more you have to work to build a relationship with the animals." Tuesday's kickoff session mostly served a fundraiser for donors who support the Horses for Heroes program. Miller said that next week, the program will return to its focus of providing therapy for disabled children. Among those who rode on Tuesday were Peyton and Paxton Carter. The brothers said until that evening they had never ridden a horse previously. After they dismounted and removed their safety helmets, Peyton, 8, and Paxton, 9, excitedly chattered about their experience with each other. When asked if they'd ride again someday, both answered with a simultaneous yes. "I'd probably ride again if I got the chance," Paxton said. Decatur Schools Assist Houston Classroom. Eisenhower, Milliken Unite to Send Needed School Supplies. By Valerie Wells, Herald and Review. Decatur. Sometimes the most basic needs are the most keenly felt. Hannah Leibarger, math chair at Eisenhower High School, was visiting a Florida-based educational Facebook page called Sun, Sand, and the Second Grade when she saw a post about adopting a Houston-area classroom to help with Hurricane Harvey relief. The idea was to match classrooms around the rest of the country with affected classrooms in Houston, to provide them with school supplies that were ruined by the hurricane. I signed up right away, and about 4 or 5 days later, they contacted me and said they had a match for me, and set me up with her name and school and contact information and everything, Liebarger said. So I contacted her via email, and she said that they wouldn't be opening school until this week, but they were just looking for supplies. They were getting ready to start school and couldn't. Getting ready to go to school, parents do all their school shopping, and now the supplies are gone. Liebarger is a Millikan University alumna. When she posted about the project on social media, Millikan's math chair, Joe Stickles, saw it and thought this was a way Millikan could pitch in and help too. He contacted the president of the university's math club, who went right to work putting up posters around campus and getting the word out there too. The Houston teacher Liebarger was matched with told her that because other schools were more heavily damaged than hers, she'll have students from other schools in her class temporarily. Some kids may have some supplies left, and some may have none, Liebarger said. I thought it would be a good idea. Moms kind of go crazy buying supplies. If you have an extra notebook you're not using, Mom bought you 8 and you only need 6, let's send it down there. She placed a plastic crate in her classroom for students to drop donations into, and it filled up. Then the floor next to it filled up. Then the table behind it filled up. And the first box went to Houston on Saturday. Now that Millikan is involved, the plan is to send a second box on Saturday this week. We said we've got to help somehow, Stickles said. A big component of our freshman seminar here is doing service learning, so our students are big on giving back to the community. The classroom in Houston is 9th grade biology, Liebarger said, and she simply told her Eisenhower students to bring whatever sort of supplies they use themselves. Paper, pencils, pens, spiral notebooks, folders. Since Hurricane Irma hit Florida, the matching process has been somewhat delayed. But Brianna Beverly, the page administrator for Sun, Sand, and 2nd grade, said as soon as power is back on in the Orlando area, where she's located, she'll get the rest of the matching done. How to help? To donate supplies or gift cards for Houston classrooms, contact Joe Stickles, J-S-T-I-C-K-L-E-S, at millikan.edu, or 217-424-6290, or Hannah Liebarger, H-R-L-Y-B-A-R-G-E-R, at dps61.org, or 217-972-2249. Items needed include notebooks, folders, pencils, pens, and paper. This week at heraldreview.com/calendar. Thursday, Collective Goods Book and Gift Fair, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., St. Mary's Hospital, Assisi Room. Many different items, children's books, toys, outdoor and home goods, and much more. Friday, Music Program, 10 to 10:45 a.m., Children's Museum of Illinois. Spend the first 30 minutes dancing, singing, and learning about beat, tempo, and rhythm. The second part of the program will be focused on making instruments. Saturday, Decatur Train Fair, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Decatur Civic Center, $5. Massive model layouts, swap meets, and boxcar loads of rare model train collectibles. Mount Zion Man wins $1 million Powerball prize. Herald and Review staff. Mount Zion. Mount Zion resident David Marquis won a $1 million Powerball prize when his $2 quick pick ticket matched the first 5 numbers in the Saturday, August 12th drawing, the Illinois Lottery said Wednesday. In a statement, the lottery said Marquis and his wife plan to pay their bills and invest. It's going to feel great to be debt-free, he said. They may also take a trip to Hawaii next year to celebrate their 30th wedding anniversary. An occasional Powerball player, Marcos said he buys a ticket when the jackpot is unusually high. He was on his way to a baseball game in St. Louis, Missouri, when he stopped at West End Food Mart, 416 South O'Bannon Street in Raymond, and bought his ticket. The retailer received a bonus of $10,000, or 1% of the prize amount, for selling the winning ticket. More than 68,000 players won prizes ranging from $4 to $1 million in this Powerball drawing, including three $50,000 match four prizes, the lottery said. Powerball drawings are held Wednesday and Saturday at 9:59 p.m. The winning numbers were 20, 24, 26, 35, 49, and the Powerball number was 19. Three arrested. Three arrested in Windsor Man's murder by Jalen Cook, Herald and Review, Decatur. Police arrested three suspects Wednesday in the murder of 22-year-old Zachary Hubbard of Windsor, who had been found shot to death in the 1200 block of East Condit Street on August 27th. In a media release, Deputy Chief David Dickerson said Jason A. White, 27, Ryan L. Waters, 20, and Autumn D. Billings, 26, were taken into custody after a joint investigation by the Police Department's Investigations Division. White and Waters are both facing preliminary charges of first-degree murder, while Billings faces a preliminary charge of obstruction of justice. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. Officers were dispatched to a vacant house on East Condit Street at about 10:30 a.m., where Hubbard's body was discovered inside. After an autopsy was conducted, Coroner Michael Day said Hubbard suffered multiple gunshot wounds to the head, upper and lower torso, and his right upper extremity. All three suspects were held without bond in the Macon County Jail on Wednesday. Dickerson said police department would not release further information Wednesday evening, but the arrest of additional people was possible. Handbook offers advice on immigration. Chicago. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan's office has issued a handbook for law enforcement following a new state law limiting cooperation between local authorities and federal immigration agents. Madigan's spokeswoman, Eileen Boyce, said it's a response to inquiries from local authorities about the law and President Donald Trump's immigration-related executive orders. Briefs. Argenta. Blood donors sorely needed. Argenta Oriana High School will host a blood drive from 8:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Thursday in the school's gymnasium, 500 North Main Street, Argenta. The American Red Cross is encouraging all eligible donors to give blood during September, which has been designated National Preparedness Month. Casey. Dropped cigarette causes crash. A dropped cigarette instigated a semi-truck crash Tuesday that sent one man to the hospital, Illinois State Police said. Carlos Salcedo Camarillo, 57, of El Paso, Texas, was driving east on Interstate 70 near Casey when he dropped his cigarette, police said in a news release. He began searching for the cigarette and lost control of the truck, which caused him to swerve into the median of the road. When he attempted to get back on the road, his truck overturned and landed on its driver's side in the median. Salcedo Camarillo was taken by ambulance to HSHS St. Anthony's Memorial Hospital in Effingham. The extent of his injuries was unavailable. Decatur. Museum plans exhibit about clean water. The Children's Museum of Illinois, 55 South Country Club Road, will unveil its newest exhibit, Clean Water, at 12:45 p.m. Monday, September 25th. The interactive exhibit highlights the importance of access to clean water and drinking water and was sponsored by the Rotary Club of Decatur to honor its 100th anniversary and focus on providing clean water in places such as Kenya. The exhibit will be open to the public at 9:30 a.m. Tuesday, September 26. Beck Tennis Tournament Offers Glimpse of Future, by Scott Perry, Herald and Review. Today, Kevin Anderson is the 15th-ranked men's tennis player in the world, fresh off an appearance in the finals of the U.S. Open. His tennis career has taken him all over the world. He's participated in all of the Grand Slam tournaments. Among his stop, two appearances in 2005 and 2006 in the USTA Ursula Beck Men's Pro Tennis Classic in Decatur. The tournament, held for the 19th time this year, brings 96 tennis players from more than 20 countries to the city in late July and early August. Tournament director Chuck Kuhl was spurred to establish a local professional tournament by two things: nearby Champaign having attracted one to their community, and Decatur's success hosting a professional golf tournament. It got me thinking, why can't we have a tennis tournament here? In his 1999 proposal to the Decatur Park District Board, seeking its blessing to host the tournament at its facility, Kuhl wrote, "Hosting a tournament of this size would create more enthusiasm for the game through pro-ams, junior tennis carnivals, meet the pro cocktail parties, as well as viewing the tournament. In addition, our city could use the tournament for a charity fundraiser." The major hurdle was the speed in which it all came together. Expecting a year to organize its first tournament, the U.S. Tennis Association asked if he could make it happen in 3 months. "We pulled it off," Kuhl said. "Now it runs like a well-oiled machine." One of the first calls he got after announcing plans to seek the tournament came from Decatur businessman Daryl Beck, who offered immediate financial support. The tournament is named after Beck's wife Ursula, an avid tennis player who took great pride in helping to bring an event of this type to Decatur. While both have since passed, the family's support of the tournament continues. In addition to any boost, the tournament has given the local economy, through things like hotel and restaurant sales, some of the tournament proceeds have been used to support the continuation of tennis in the community. 100 Reasons to Love the Decatur Area. Celebrate what's great about our region. The Herald and Review each day is listing a reason the Decatur region is loved. We're profiling people, places, and history that are special to our region and that make it a great place in which to live. Follow previous 100 Reasons to Love the Decatur Area at herald-review.com. Have an idea about something we should feature? Email APETTY@herald-review.com or use hashtag TogetherDecatur on Twitter to tell us about it or share your photos. Charleston, intent to sell LSD yields prison. A man received a 9-year prison sentence, which he admitted planning to sell LSD, which was reportedly found when he also had heroin. Bobby Boehm pleaded guilty to a charge of possession of a controlled substance that accused him of having several tabs or doses of LSD found during a traffic stop in Charleston on May 9th. Boehm, 33, Charleston, faced a charge that required a prison sentence of 6 to 30 years because it alleged at least 15 doses of the hallucinogenic drug were found. After Boehm pleaded guilty, Coles County Circuit Judge Brian O'Brien agreed to a defense request to... We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Herald and Review for Thursday, September 14th, 2017. Please stay tuned.